Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, a Merry Christmas Eve to each and every one of you. Great to have you with us here on SJS. Don't forget Santa coming up tonight, a special coming up this evening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And for all of you who made donations to the Needy Family Fund, thank you so much. Went far beyond our goal this year, but we needed to because the families up and down the valley who will benefit from this need it more than ever. So thank you so much in the true holiday Christmas spirit, without question. Today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Kratzer Insurance has served the valley for more than 50 years. Auto, home, life, business insurance. His service and price means something to you. Kratzer Insurance. And of course, our great friends at Sunbury Motors, who wish each and every one of you a happy holiday and a safe holiday as well. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They, of course, sponsor the Sunbury Motors Studio. Coming up on today's Christmas Eve show, plenty for you. We're going to talk about the NHL with Pete Jensen from NHL.com. That'll be coming up in a few minutes. A little bit later in the show, Kevin's favorite segment, business. We're going to talk with Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror will be on today's show. And also Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record. Frank's one of the beat writers I have such great respect for. And I thought, sat back just the other day, I thought to myself, as much as I like Frank, we've never had him on the show before. So Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record is going to join us as well. For Nittany Lion basketball, next up for them will be the Big Ten opener with Michigan State a week from today, New Year's Eve at the Jordan Center. Coming up, we'll take a little look at the Nittany Lions and as they get ready for this break and then for the Big Ten opener. That is on Inside Penn State Athletics. And that's coming up next right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Congratulations. Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranties service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
On this Christmas Eve, great to have you with us. You're on SJS, News Radio 1070 WKOK. So thankful for so many things throughout the course of the year. Our audience, our great staff at Sunbury Broadcasting, Kevin especially, Sarah Bartlett, Bob Buhner, and all of us here at News Radio 1070 WKOK. So much to be thankful for. We hope that for those who celebrate Christmas, that you are thoroughly and completely enjoying your Christmas Eve. For those who just had the day off, well, we hope you're enjoying it as well. And also enjoying the fact that we're sticking with sports here for you until 5 o'clock this evening. A little bit later, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, and also joining us later, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, and Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. That's all coming up on today's show. We're going to talk about hockey. Why not? It's Christmas Eve. Might as well talk about hockey. Let's bring in Pete Jensen from NHL.com. Hi, Pete. Great to have you back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
As always, great to have you. Let's talk about the early stages of the league. How impressed are you by the balance in the NHL? There's not a lot of balance in the NBA right now. It's very heavily weighted toward the West. But how impressed are you by the balance in the NHL on both sides?
Yeah, I'm definitely impressed, and most of all, I'm impressed by the Western Conference. There's a number of teams that have been exceptional so far, including the Blackhawks, defending champs, the Anaheim Ducks, the LA Kings, the St. Louis Blues, even the San Jose Sharks. The West is really deep. You have a couple of teams that are legitimate contenders that are, you know, possibly going to be on the outside looking in, whether you talk about Phoenix or Colorado. I mean, these are teams that, when matched up with the Eastern Conference teams that are fighting for a playoff spot, so to speak, right now, have really overwhelmed those teams record-wise. So it's especially the West, but then obviously the East is still wide open. You see a team like Florida win 6 out of 7, and they're right back in the race after a terrible start to the season where they fired their coach. And yeah, so it's there's a lot of you know, parity in the NHL right now.
They're in the process right now at the Big House of putting the rink in, and it looks like it's heavily shaded toward one side of the stadium as opposed to another. But just, it's been 2 years since the Winter Classic was played, so what is the general league excitement over the Winter Classic returning on New Year's Day?
Yeah, this is going to be a spectacle. It's going to be, you know, in all likelihood, the largest pro hockey game or hockey game in general of all time, attendance-wise. You have a incredibly popular and successful team in the Maple Leafs going against the Red Wings, who have had their struggles. Their goalie's injured, Jimmy Howard, but it's going to be an exciting game. And more importantly, really, it's the start of what's going to be a really different, exciting couple of months around the league with the different stadium series games going on. You know, Pittsburgh's involved in the one that's going to be played at Soldier Field. There's two games in New York City. There's one game in Los Angeles, which is pretty peculiar but intriguing to the general fan of sports. And, you know, you also have the Olympics thrown in there, which is going to be very interesting out in Russia. So it's the Winter Classic is, you know, the excitement is building, and it's something that everyone associated with the league, I think, will be very proud of come New Year's Day.
Yeah, there's going to be, let's see, a couple games in Yankee Stadium, which will be Rangers-Islanders and also the Rangers and the Devils. You got Dodger Stadium with Anaheim against the Kings, Ducks and Kings, and then Soldier Field on March 1st with the Penguins and the Blackhawks. Have they reached, is the NHL at a limit right now as to how far they can go with this in terms of the number of outdoor games?
I mean, I think that remains to be seen. I think we'll, you know, the powers that be will, in all likelihood, evaluate how successful these games were, and I think it's a nice step forward. I mean, I've talked about it before. It's just there's a lot of potential with some of these cities out there with potentially hosting outdoor games down the road, whether you're talking about Canada or some of the teams up north like Minnesota, even, you know, if there's going to be a game in Los Angeles, why not San Francisco down the road? So there's really a lot of opportunity for outdoor games, and it's something that's very appealing to fans, even to go out and brave the elements in January or February in some of these cities. It's like going to a playoff football game in a way. So it's something that, you know, it could possibly be the limit, or we could see something like this, you know, possibly moving forward. We'll have to see and take it as it comes.
Yeah, no question. Although it would help if one of those games had a little swirl of snow in it. Seriously. For the ambiance of it, people watching on TV, I mean, now you feel like you're outdoors and you're watching hockey in a pond.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we saw it with the 1 week in the NFL where you had snow in Baltimore and Philly and up north that crazy weekend. And,
yep.
Yeah, it does crazy ratings when it snows. And it's, you know, the way it's looking so far in New York already in December here, I would say that, you know, maybe one of those two games were almost guaranteed to get snow at this rate. So it should be fun.
With the Super Bowl following right after those games that take place at Yankee Stadium. So it was smart on the NHL's part. They're really coupling the two together in that particular week. Very smart. Now, moving forward with this, the Olympic Games you mentioned coming up in Sochi. This is not the first time through where the season gets a stall and the players go play. And it also exhausts them. The players that say when they get deep in the Stanley Cup that playing in the Olympics is a little added to it. Do you think the coaches and the players have a better handle on how to handle the addition of the Olympics and the season stopping?
I mean, I think it's a focus. It's been a focus of a lot of the players from what I've been reading, and it's something that really they take pride in. And I think that conditioning-wise, the players have prepared themselves as much as they can, but also you've seen a rash of injuries around the league, even with some prominent players, Steven Stamkos, right, a couple of the goaltenders, Jonathan Quick, some big movers and shakers are injured, and that's something that you run into when you take a couple of weeks off to play in the Olympics. So it's going to be interesting to see how the balance plays out in terms of these players. Like if Stamkos were to rush back to try to play in the Olympics, it's just going to be interesting to see how that turns out. You would hate to see a guy re-aggravate an injury over that, but you know, you got to imagine that these coaches and general managers are going into it with an open mind and trying to condition their players based on the schedule and what's to come in February.
Pete, what does it mean to the league, just from a league perspective, that Crosby, Kane, and Malkin are the top 3-point scorers? Crosby, Malkin, and even Joey Thornton, who's well-known, are the top in assists. Ovechkin's the leading goal scorer. What do you think that means to the league, that the star power is actually the star power?
Yeah, it goes into a lot of the stuff that we do, you know, in my department where we're programming videos and the fantasy angles. I mean, when guys are playing out of their minds in terms of how well they're producing points, it's there's no question it's a more exciting game for any fan, really. And, you know, a lot of these countries, the NHL is a very international game, and a lot of these countries take a lot of pride in their players and their products, and a lot of guys have not disappointed this season in terms of scoring the puck. Even, you know, as we saw last night, Claude Giroux, he's really turned it on of late. He's almost at a point a game right now, and that's something that's great. I saw, you know, on the Philly newspapers this morning, it was his Santa Claude performance, you know, giving the Flyers that win last night. Very impressive, and it's cool to see the stars come out, because that's what leads to more publicity for the league.
In the video and on the website itself, NHL seeing more hits, thus giving a little indication of more popularity?
Yeah, definitely. And we set a record video start number earlier in the year. I'm sure you saw it. Thomas Hertl's goal for the San Jose Sharks, put it between the legs. I mean, that was a record video day. You know, we've had a lot of great content so far this season, and, you know, we're only a couple months in. So, and you're going to start to see, once football ends, more games on NBC on Sundays. A lot of the outdoor games are going to be nationally televised. So it's going to be an exciting couple of months. And, again, to get the guys, you know, Crosby, Ovechkin firing on all cylinders, it's something that's very good for the league numbers-wise as well.
Pete, to you and yours, happy holidays as we group them all together here, and thanks so much for the time.
No problem, Steve, and happy holidays to you and the great staff over there. Thanks.
That's Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Appreciate the time that Pete gave us today as we roll through on this Christmas Eve. Coming up in the next half hour, Corey Geiger is going to join us from the Altoona Mirror to talk about Bill O'Brien, college basketball as well. Then in the 4:05 half hour, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We're going to talk about ticket distribution for the Super Bowl and how it actually works and why the atmosphere at the Super Bowl is usually so stale in the stadium while you're enjoying the game at home. In the final half hour, we're going to be joined by Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record, talking about Penn State football as well. So we have a lot going on. Bowl season is underway. In fact, there's the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl coming up tonight. It's not a bad game either. It's Boise State and Oregon State. Not bad. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. From the Sunbury Motor Studio, Steve Jones with you on this Christmas Eve. News coming up next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Christmas Eve. Hope you're enjoying it. Maybe you're getting in some last-second shopping. Maybe you're starting to travel as you get ready for Christmas Day tomorrow. Maybe you're at home wrapping right now. Or at the same time, maybe you're getting ready for evening services. Whatever it happens to be, we're glad you're along with us today on this Christmas Eve. To all of you who made donations to the Needy Family Fund, what you have done is very, very special. We went far beyond our goal, and fortunately that we did go beyond our goal because the need is greater than ever. So to all of you who made donations, thank you so much for that. Santa coming up tonight, beginning at 6 this evening. Looking forward to that. It's an 80-year tradition here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This is the last second before he gets out in the sleigh and gets rolling for the big holiday. Today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years, and they've served the Valley well for more than 50 years. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, it's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. And they wish each and every one of you a happy and safe holiday season. I'm here at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwoods, 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They wish each and every one of you a safe and happy holiday season. Now, Barry Hinson, certainly from Southern Illinois, put quite a show on during his press conference in which he called his team out. It was a wild ride, and we're joined by Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror. Hi, Corey. Great to have you with us.
Steve, what's going on? I'm glad you played the whole video. What an entertaining rant that guy had.
It was entertaining, and we'll see how his team reacts. They obviously are not very good.
You know, Steve, I think the guy's an idiot and a jackass, to be perfectly honest with you. He's a bad wannabe stand-up comedian. I don't have any problem with a coach calling out his players' effort and intensity and all of those things. Look, sometimes that's a motivational strategy that coaches will use with the media, but he embarrassed them publicly.
Yes,
he embarrassed
did.
Their manhood. He calls them mama's boys. He says his wife can play better than them. One part of the audio that you didn't play, but there's another part where, you know, he says, I've been trying to tell my wife this for years, that size doesn't matter. He's thinking he's funny.
Yeah.
That's my problem. He's thinking he's funny throughout this whole thing. And instead, he comes across just completely embarrassing his players, one of whom went to Twitter and wrote, the little man
yeah.
calls us mama's boys. Can you imagine Ross Travis going on Twitter and calling Patrick Chambers the little man? And my biggest issue with the whole thing, not one time did he take responsibility?
Yep.
That maybe he's just not a very damn good coach, Steve.
Right.
I mean, if the players are rolling his eyes, then come across with a better way to get through to them than embarrassing them like that. And if I'm a parent of a 17-year-old kid, I'm not sending my kid to play for that jackass. He's supposed to be a leader of young men, and he's teaching them that the best way to get through to people is to embarrass them and humiliate them in public. Give me a break.
And that's, again, and this goes back to something you and I have talked about before. When do people actually get in trouble in public? When there's an attempt to be funny and it's not self-deprecating.
He thought he was being funny. Did you say
that?
Oh,
I think he thought, at one point, I think he felt he got on a roll.
Yeah.
And unfortunate for him, he was the one that was rolling and nobody else was accompanying him on the roll.
And Steve, you've been in the media. Steve, by the way, I think you do an incredible job with the questions that you ask Pat Chambers every week. I think that, you know, you probe the right subjects, and there's an art to asking questions and an art to the things that you need to bring up. Well, we're not in a huge media market, okay?
Right.
So your interviews of Pat Chambers, a lot of times, are some of the only things that people get to hear of Pat Chambers. Barry Hinson has spent a career at places like Missouri State and one or two other small schools as a head coach. When you're a head coach in a small school, and I deal with this at St. Francis all the time,
right?
You show up, there's two or three newspapers covering you, there's two TV stations, whatever you say, you get the sense that, you know, it's just going to be, what's the big deal? So I think he's probably used to the little guy syndrome. He shows up to a press conference, he can make these statements off the cuff, they won't blow up in his face necessarily. Now that he's seen they're blowing up in his face, I'm surprised that he's sticking by his comments. I'm guessing he's going to take a lot of heat in the next couple of days. And he's issued one mea culpa for naming the one kid personally, which he shouldn't have done. I bet you he's regretting it, or he'll start to regret it as his players and maybe some other people start to put more pressure on him.
If you're at Southern Illinois, Corey, what is your goal at Southern Illinois? Winning immediately and what?
You got to get to the tournament, Steve.
You're trying to get another job, and this here is an example. If he's if his resume shows up on my desk as an AD,
Steve, you're dead on. And what people need to know about Southern Illinois, I believe they went to the tournament every year from 2002 to 2007, or maybe they went to six NCAA tournaments in the decade of the 2000s. So
Bruce Weber and Matt Painter. Bruce Weber, Matt Painter. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and what did they parlay Southern Illinois into? Upper mobility,
yeah, Illinois
Big Ten
and
jobs.
And Purdue, sure, exactly.
Right. I mean, this guy is not, if he is going to conduct himself in public and throw his team under the bus, okay, that's one thing that we've seen over the years in our market. Okay. We don't see coaches throw players under the bus. You know, in fact, people say, I'm getting sick and tired of saying I take responsibility for you. You hear, you know, people say that about coaches. But at least they're not throwing the players under the bus.
What does Bill do every time they lose a game within the first minute?
It's on me.
He says, we've got to coach them better.
Yep.
You know what? At not one point in that 5 minute and 40 second, the main clip, did Barry Hinson say anything relating to, you know, I've got to coach him better. Here's how I've got to do it. He's saying stupid things like, you got to treat him like a puppy dog. You got to swat him. They're mama's boys. My wife can shoot better than them. You take a 19-year-old kid, maybe he's from the inner city, maybe he's from a different cultural background, those kids are not going to relate or respect a coach that's going to embarrass them that way in public.
As a parent, I would stay out of 98% of it, okay, and just be supportive. But if I heard that press conference, they would get a call from me.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tim. I'm not a fan of parents getting involved.
I mean, stay out of
it. But
that press conference, that one, I'd sit back and go, "Hey, what's your problem? You know, what's the deal
here?" But again, let me point out, I don't have a problem with coaches calling out players for effort or things like
right.
that. Sometimes you've got to challenge your guys, and sometimes the best way to do it is through the media.
Sure,
but have a little tact.
But there's an art to doing that. There's a way to doing that. Pick a first name. Alan's got to play. You know, Alan just does a great job for us. And here. He says, but if Alan can give us more here, here, and here, boy, it would make a real difference.
Sure.
In other words, There's a way to do it where you grease it a bit, like all these positives, and now if I see more here, boy, it's really going to help us. Now, that is calling them out, but doing it in a certain way.
But you know what, Steve? When you were playing the audio, you know, you guys were laughing. I was laughing when I heard it. It was entertaining. So to the 99.999% of the world that it doesn't necessarily relate to, you got a kick out of it for a day. Now those people have to go on and deal with the repercussions of it. And, hey, I feel for those kids on that team because he put them in a bad situation, I think.
But there's a difference between laughing at him and laughing with him.
Absolutely. Can you imagine Ross Travis calling Patrick Chambers the little man? I mean, if you have that, if there's that kind of disconnect on your team that a player is calling the coach the little man, oh my goodness.
Yes, well, I don't think we'd be seeing much of Ross any longer if that were the case.
Absolutely.
Hey, tis the season for the second consecutive year where Penn State fans have to hear rumors repeatedly about Bill O'Brien, and as I pointed out on the show earlier in the week, I said, look, at the same age level and probably a little more experience level as a head coach, Joe Paterno had the same rumors around him, Steelers, Raiders, Giants, and of course, the most famous of all, the New England Patriots, where he was offered 5% share of the team plus GM plus everything that goes with it. And he turned it down. We know about the million-dollar offer. So that has actually happened here before. But here it is, second straight year. Success leads to a logical name being put out there, and that's Bill O'Brien.
What a tribute, first of all, to the job that he's done.
Yeah.
And I think that really should go without saying. The guy has done an unbelievable job, and he has earned the right to be a hot coaching commodity.
No doubt.
That's the bottom line. I think, Steve, and you probably know this much better than I or most people, I think he's very happy at Penn State. Mm-hmm. I think he sees a very bright future at Penn State with the sanctions being reduced and Hackenberg, scholarships coming. I think if he stays at Penn State for the next 5 years, maybe they can be in contention to win a national title, as they start to get everything back. And if that's the case, then I think he can be very happy because it's a good job once again. But my bottom line has always been, Steve, I think he's an NFL guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to take an NFL job at some point. I think he wants to be in the NFL. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's not happy at Penn State. I just think that Bill O'Brien's makeup, from what I know, he wants to be an NFL head coach, and then it just depends on the timing. This year, next year, 5 years from now, what's the offer he's looking for? What's the organization? What's the situation? What's the pay? What's the location? Is he going to move his family to Houston, Texas? It's a good job, but I don't know that he's going to want to do that. Is he waiting for New England? Is he waiting for the Giants? Would he take over a circus with the Jets? The ball is in his court with how patient he wants to be and, what type of exact situation he's not taking the Oakland Raiders job. There's no reason for him to take the Minnesota Vikings job. You know, there are four or five jobs maybe that he could see himself taking and being successful at. If one of them comes up this year, then, he's probably going to take it. If it doesn't come up this year, then he's probably still going to be happy at Penn State as long as he's there.
I mean, I'm not going to speak for him, but I'll speak for myself. Okay, say I'm in his shoes at the moment, and that means, of course, they're 0-24. But if I'm in his shoes at the moment, okay, and I would, it would depend on how much control personally for me I would have over the situation. In the pros, do you work with, who's the general manager? Who's the director of player personnel? Are you the guy that, do you just want to coach and have them do it, or do you want more control? When you're a college coach, you are the GM, you are the player personnel director, and you are the head coach. I mean, so you've got more, quote, control. Now, if that's what you want, plus the money, you have that. If you're okay with just the coaching part and you've got to relinquish, I think you have to find a situation that fits what your personality is. And your personality is varied based on the variables I just talked about.
Steve, those are all good criteria, and I think he needs to be very careful with whatever criteria he uses for job security. Bill O'Brien's got a ton of job security at Penn State.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be given some degree of leniency for a number of years, as long as they do okay, 7, 8, 9 wins. Nobody's expecting them to compete for a national title right now. So he's got a 10-year window probably where he can make $3+ million a year. Leslie Frazier with Minnesota was one of the best coaches in the NFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about him potentially getting fired a year later. That's what you deal with in that profession. You know, if Bill O'Brien wants to take an NFL job, you know, you got to be very careful to make sure it's with an organization that's going to back you and is not just going to chew after one bad season if you have one. And again, what situations like that might be available after this year? The Texans,
right.
Maybe? I think the Texans, to me, Steve, the Texans and the Detroit Lions are situations where he can go in and I think win immediately. They've got good people in place with both organizations. You know, the Texans are probably going to be able to draft in the top 2 or 3. He can maybe go get a franchise quarterback and or stay with Matt Schaub. He's got Matthew Stafford and Megatron in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at all the scenarios, I would think Detroit and Houston might be the two that he might be. But again, that does he want to live in Detroit? Does he want to live in Houston, Texas? Only he knows those things.
Or does he want to coach Christian Hackenberg?
Absolutely. And then, he's got a bright future. Now,
yeah.
Steve, you know this as well as I do. He's very competitive. He's working his tail off.
True.
They might not win more than 8 games next year, Steve. Maybe they'll win 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he wants to win championships, and it was an incredible struggle these first couple of years. Even with Christian, if Allen Robinson leaves, there's going to be holes on defense. Maybe they have a terrific season and win 9 games,
yeah.
You know. But think about how good things would have to be to win 9 games next year with, still 70 or so scholarships.
Well, either way, it's a tremendous compliment to him and to his personal skill, and also to his his people skills as well. Because of there's no handbook as to how to handle this. He's now written the handbook as to how to handle it. All right, here comes one of our
say it all the time, Steve. If I can say, when the players go to the draft, a Stefan Wisniewski, a John Urschel, they're going to wow them in the interview room.
Yeah,
if Bill O'Brien gets to the interview room, he's going to wow them, just like he did Dave Joyner and all the people that were responsible for bringing him to Penn State.
No question. That's spot on. All right. One of our favorite news segments that he and I have is that, okay, what did I say that you disagree with?
You know, really, I listened off and on this week, Steve. I don't think there was really anything that you said, so I'm going to put a little twist on it.
Okay.
Bill Simmons called into Colin 30 minutes ago and defended Carmelo Anthony.
That's impossible. You can't do that. I'm sorry. Remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a quick question about the NBA. Who was last year's NBA Coach of the Year? George Karl. George Karl. Where is he now? On TV. They fired him, and he was the Coach of the Year. They fired him. Okay? That whole league is goofy.
Your listeners probably know this. I'm a lifelong Syracuse fan.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony won me a national championship.
Right.
I think as highly of that guy for what he did for my team as anybody in sports. He's the most selfish player in sports, Steve. He's a ball hog.
Yep.
You throw the ball to him, it's a black hole ball hog situation. And so for Bill Simmons to call in, and I know he's making the point that they haven't surrounded him with good players in New York. Who would want to play with the guy? LeBron made people better. MJ made Scott Paxton and Steve Kerr
better.
NBA Finals heroes.
Yep.
Carmelo does nothing for anybody but Carmelo.
No question. Hey, one quick Syracuse thing. I think Syracuse has a chance to have a great year in the ACC, and here's one of the reasons I have for it. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. Usually when you go into a new conference, you have to learn everything. Except for Pitt and Notre Dame, Jim Boeheim and his staff will have to learn personnel on every team. I mean, and it's a daunting task because it's all new, except they have one thing going for them. That 2-3 zone, Corey, that the ACC doesn't see on a regular basis as compared to the Big East, and I think that's going to be a bigger adjustment for them because nobody does it the way Syracuse does, and nobody, because those two guards at the top, you and I both know, are already in leak-out positions in a running game.
Yeah, I heard you get into that subject the other day, and I couldn't agree more. Your listeners who, you know, Syracuse is a national name. They're on TV so much. Your listeners, I believe, understand the value of the zone. But the reason, the thing about the zone, when they go to the tournament every year, and these, or these preseason conference, or preseason tournaments like in Maui or wherever, yeah, where teams they face have not seen the zone, that's where you really see it.
Yeah.
They'll make guys like James Harden look foolish when they play James Harden in the NCAA tournament a few years ago.
Yep.
The zone is such a neutralizer that if you haven't seen it, it is very, very Connecticut and Pitt, they've seen it for years.
Right.
Nobody beats the zone better than Jamie Dixon.
Right.
But that's because they see it every year. So I think you're dead on, Steve, that the rest of the ACC are going to have a challenge, but the one flaw for the zone, if teams are hitting threes, you can beat Syracuse somewhat easily.
Yep.
Because if you're just draining threes, then that really will neutralize the zone as well.
And that's Duke's game. So right there. I mean, that's their game. Corey, hey, thanks so much. Happy holiday. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I know it's a very special time. You know, with the kids around, it just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Oh, they're walking the first Christmas where they get to. They were asleep for Christmas last year, so this is going to be a lot of fun.
You better believe it will be. I hope you have a great time with it, you and your wife. Corey Geiger joining us here on this Christmas Eve. Next half hour, by the way, Tony Knott, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance, service, and price means something to you. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Tony Knott, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, then Frank Bodan, the York Daily Record, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.